Job chapter 42. We've all heard the saying, brevity is the soul of wit, I suppose, meaning extreme wisdom and knowledge of things, you know, not something comical. Wit back then meant understanding and knowledge. Well, we're going to read two verses, Job chapter 42, 1 and 2. And that's pretty well brief, but it pretty well sums up who God is. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. That's a pretty good description of God. Of course, it can be elaborated on. But I thought also of the echo from the book of Ecclesiastes, the last chapter. He talks about life and our experiences and our knowledge of all of life in through history. And he says that we should let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That says a lot, those verses. Let's come before the Lord in prayer.
Certainly thank you for your prayers. Prayers this morning, and thank you for praying for us. And just simply, I'm so thankful to have my wife with me this morning, and things seem to be heading the right direction with her. And I think I attended more services by myself in the last month than perhaps in our whole marriage, because we rarely do I go to church without her or have been in a service without her. And so it's been not the most pleasant, but we praise the Lord. He's good as he always is. And we ask that you would continue to remember her as we move on here. In her book, Unstoppable, Cynthia Kersey writes this concerning Francisco Busio. There were few things in the world that he wanted more than the fulfillment of his desire to be a surgeon. At the age of 27, Francisco seemed well on his way to achieving that dream. His skill had earned him a residency in plastic surgery at Mexico City's General Hospital. And in only a few more years, he'd be able to establish a private practice. But then on September 19th, 1985, Francisco's world literally came crashing down around him. An earthquake, one of the largest in history, measuring 8.1 on the Richter scale, claimed more than 4,000 lives. What could not be measured was the toll that the earthquake took on individuals' dreams. When the tremors started, Francisco was in his room on the hospital's fifth floor. And when they ended, he was on the ground floor, buried under tons of debris. In total darkness, Francisco realized his right hand, the one with which he performed surgery, was crushed under a massive steel beam. And as Francisco struggled and painfully and frantically unable to pull that hand free, he started to panic. And he knew that without circulation, gangrene would set in. And if that happened, his hand would need to be amputated. And as Francisco grew weaker, there was a determined group outside. It consisted of his father and his six brothers, and then countless volunteers, and they were digging frantically to get to Francisco. His family never lost hope, and 4 days later, they finally reached him. Professional rescuers at the site of the scene said they would have to cut off Francisco's hand in order to free him. But his family, aware of Francisco's dream of becoming a surgeon, refused that. And instead, the rescue team worked 3 more hours with a crane to lift the beam that was crushing his hand. But once freed, he was rushed to another hospital. And in the months that followed, while Mexico struggled to rebuild its capital, Francisco struggled to rebuild his dream. Well, the first step was an 18-hour operation that the surgeon hoped would save his hand. But after 3 weeks, they were forced to amputate 4 of his fingers, leaving only his thumb. And over the next few months, Francisco underwent 5 operations trying to save what was left of his right hand. Still, his hand would not function. And without his right hand, how could he operate on patients? So Busio went to San Francisco, where there was a doctor who pioneered the transplantation of toes to replace missing fingers. His name, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it, Dr. Bunky. Francisco promised himself that if the doctor could successfully complete the operation, then he would take care of the rest. So in the surgery, Dr. Bunky replaced Francisco's ring finger and pinky finger with 2 of his toes. After time and hard work, Francisco was able to grasp objects between his thumb and his 2 toe fingers. This enabled him to do simple tasks like buttoning his clothes. And after recuperating from his complex surgery, Francisco threw himself full force into an intensive therapy and exercise program. And he spent painful hours placing pegs into pegboards and then laboring with a pencil and pad until he could sign his name perfectly with that right hand. And after several months of dedicated rehabilitation, Francisco returned to Mexico City, where he performed limited duties at the hospital and continued to train like an Olympic athlete. He swam for conditioning. And to strengthen his hand, he practiced tying and untying thousands of knots, suturing with needles on clothes, dicing food into tiny pieces, and rolling rubber balls between his new toe fingers. In the beginning, completing even the simplest movements was awkward and frustrating, but Francisco persisted until he was able to perform each task. He worked his left hand too, training himself to be ambidextrous. Then came the day when Francisco faced his most critical test. A senior resident had been watching him progress, and he asked Francisco to assist him in the operation on a man with a broken nose. It was Francisco's moment of truth, and he knew it. The success of this procedure would mean his return to surgery or a devastating setback. What would have taken another surgeon 10 minutes to do took Francisco 1 hour to complete. But it was an hour of triumph. And later, in describing the event, he said, "This procedure required a lot of skill, and when I did it, I realized I could do anything." That's a quote from himself. Today, Francisco Busio is a highly regarded plastic surgeon practicing at 2 locations in Tijuana and offering a full range of services. He also volunteers his time working with the poor, correcting the cleft palates of children, and performing reconstructive surgery on young burn victims. One might say that Francisco Busio was unstoppable in reaching his desire to be a surgeon. Due to all he went through and all he was willing to do, he didn't let what seemingly was a tragedy and seemingly a hopeless situation deter him. Maybe you know someone who you would say they were unstoppable in getting to where they are or achieving what they've achieved. What do you think of when you think of that word, unstoppable? Sometimes it's said of a sports team that wins and keeps winning, and they say they're unstoppable. Perhaps it's said of a hurricane or a tornado that has left a path of destruction. And it's said that that tornado or hurricane is unstoppable as it continues its movement. Not too long ago, and this just was quoted or just was written, January 18th of this year, there was a quote from Susan Glasser of the New Yorker, and listen to what she said, using that word. Excess hype aside, Iowa was a moment to be marked. The official 2024 launch of what looks to be Trump's unstoppable march to denomination, end quote. The word unstoppable. It means incapable of being stopped. Wow, that didn't take much, did it? It's funny to me when you look up words in the dictionary, sometimes they're very, well, yeah, I get that part as long as I understand what un means, U-N, not able to be stopped. But that's the truth. That's what it means. It also means unbeatable or cannot be surpassed. So even though unstoppable, the word, is used to describe different things, it is no better used than when it is used to describe God. So that would be the title of the message. I didn't give one, but it would be our unstoppable God. The word unstoppable this morning defines the true God. Not these little g gods, but the only one God, the Creator, the Almighty, the ruler of the universe, the giver of life, and the one who says when life ends. The only one to whom we all must give an account, to the Holy One, the Just One. He is truly unstoppable. And as believers, we serve the only true God, and He's the unstoppable God. And I'm wondering this morning if that thrills you. Does that thrill you that you serve the unstoppable God? Do you believe it? Too often, perhaps, we have our God a certain way that we see Him and we limit Him to what He can do or who He is. Or perhaps we think, well, you know what? That's okay for someone else. He'll be that way, but not for me. Well, I'm here to say this morning that my God, that your God, it is accurate for us to claim. And it is well within His being that He is our unstoppable, unstoppable God. The names for God in Scripture tell us of this quality that He has of being unstoppable. In Genesis, God introduces Himself as Elohim, the Creator. It says in Genesis, in the beginning, God, or Elohim, created the heaven and the earth. He's the unstoppable Creator. Things didn't just explode. And here we are today, coming, growing up from monkeys. But God created, the unstoppable Creator. Adonai is another name used for God, more than I think 400 times in the Bible. There's a lot of names for God. There's an interesting, you get to study the names of God. It's very powerful, what it says about Him. But Adonai means master or ruler, and includes the ideas of dominion and ownership. And Psalm 97 verse 5 brings this thought out well, I think. It says, the hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, a form there of Adonai, of the whole earth. Meaning He is the ruler of the whole earth. He's the unstoppable owner. In Genesis 17, we are introduced to another name of God, a compound name, and there's a lot of compound names, but this one is El Shaddai, and you're familiar with that, I'm sure. but it means God Almighty, the sufficient one. Our God, El Shaddai, is the Almighty. He is sufficient in and of himself. Our God is the unstoppable, sufficient, Almighty One. And Almighty means there is none that match him. There is none that go past him. He's the Almighty. In the very next chapter, Genesis 18, it's the very next chapter where Abraham and Sarah are told that they're going to have a child in their old age. We know that Sarah laughed within herself, and verse 12 says that. And then verse 13 of chapter 18 says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" And then in verse 14, with the Lord still speaking, he says, "Is anything too hard for God?" I wonder if he's asking you that question this morning or asking me. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And the implied answer there, you know, the Lord's not asking that and thinking, wonder if anything is too hard for me. What do you think? That's not what he's saying. He's asking the question with the implied answer that no, nothing is too hard for the Lord. So this idea of you having a baby at 90 years old, it's going to happen, Sarah. And that verse there in Genesis 18, is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord is, the name is Jehovah. Again, meaning the self-existent one or the eternal one. Does that sound unstoppable to you? An eternal being that is our God. Our God, the self-existent, eternal one, is unstoppable and nothing is too hard for him. In Jeremiah 32, Jeremiah is praying unto the Lord and he says in verse 17, "Our Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Makes sense to me, right? If you could make the heaven and earth and stretch it out just by speaking the word and stretching out your hand, as the scripture talks about God, then I'd say nothing's too hard for him, right? And then again in verse 27 of Jeremiah 32, he says, the Lord speaking says, "Behold, I am the Lord, Jehovah, the God, Elohim of all flesh. I'm the creator of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Again, he's asking the question, not that he don't know the answer, but because he's implying that there is nothing too hard for him. I like these words. Songwriter wrote these, and it really is relevant to where I'm at, where you're at. I don't know your needs, where you're at in life. I know there's needs in this congregation that we have no idea what they are in people's lives. And they're important. And they're serious. And they're up near the top of your list. But nobody knows because you haven't shared it. I understand that. Listen, it's out of your hands. You've done all you can do. You've given God the problem. It's no longer up to you. You prayed the prayer of faith. You're standing on God's truth. While you're waiting on an answer, he has a question for you. Is anything too hard for God? Who's got a problem beyond his power to solve? Are there situations he's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Only believe, trust his word. You'll see his plans are now unfolding, performing perfectly. It's clear how much he loves you. Look at all he's done. For all your questions, there is really only one. Is anything too hard for God? Who here has a problem that's beyond his power to solve? Are there situations he's not the master of? Is anything too hard for God? Yes, the Lord God that I have faith in that you have faith in. Nothing is too hard for him. He is the unstoppable God. Well, because God is unstoppable, let's look at several things, and we'll do this fairly quickly. So, and this isn't a complete list by any stretch of the imagination. But because God is unstoppable, God's purposes cannot be stopped. Proverbs 19:21 says there are many devices or plans in a man's heart. It's not talking about a pacemaker or anything like that. It's talking about plans. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel or the plans or the purpose of the Lord, they shall stand. Meaning that regardless of the plans in my heart, God's purpose, his plans will continue. And they will stand. They will not be stopped. Psalm 57:2 says, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth. That word means to bring to an end or completes all things for me. I will cry unto God most high, I will cry unto God most high. Unto God that brings to an end or completes all things for me. And the New Testament verse that brings this out in the same thought is Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform. The word perform is execute the plan, accomplish it, finish it. He will finish it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's purpose for you cannot be stopped. As believers, God's purpose for our lives, we need to understand that. Can't be stopped. Now listen. Listen to what Job says after all he'd been through. And this is why I had this read by Brother George. And it is amazing. If you look at all that Job was through, all he lost, and his communicating and dialoguing with supposedly friends, and then dialoguing with God, back and forth, and asking a lot of questions. But he reaches a place of what is a confession of his faith. And if you read on further, you'll say that he says he repents. And he says, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought, again, plan or purpose, can be withholden from thee. In other words, no purpose of yours can be thwarted or stopped. Job said, I know you can do everything, and no purpose of yours can be stopped because you are God. And you could take that as meaning, too, that the thoughts, our thoughts, obviously, are known by God. That's part of who he is. But that meaning there has the idea of the plans, God's plans, his purpose. Can't be stopped. So that means, first of all, in the big picture, God's purposes for this world cannot be stopped. Regardless of what's happening, I know Satan has his way. God has allowed him territory and he's doing things. But in the big picture, God's purpose for this world cannot be stopped. But it also means that he has unstoppable God has a will for you that can't be stopped. Do you believe that this morning? An unstoppable will. And I'm going to tell you why that is. It's because of who he is. He's the unstoppable God. His purpose will continue. And his plan for you is unstoppable. Now, let me just say this. Because someone's thinking, oh, this something don't sound right here. God does not interfere with who we are as humans. In the fact that he gives us a power of choice. So he says, you can choose me, and you can choose this will of mine that can't be stopped. But we have a choice. So we can run from it. We can reject it. But guess what? That will still hasn't stopped. You know why? Because we can always go back to it. It's always there. If we ever stray, and you know that we do, his will that cannot be stopped is always there, and we can go back and say, God, I accept it. Your purpose, the unstoppable God. You know, his will for us is, it's amazing. It's not always the best of times. But it is the best. Does that make sense? God's will for us is not always the best of times. But yet it is the best. Because I'd rather be with him and be whatever his will is than to be without him. You know, also this factor, this thought of God's purposes for our lives, that his will for our life can't be stopped. That also means that he, and I was amazed that this word was used. Brother George used it in his prayer. But because God's will and his purposes for us are unstoppable, it means that there are times that he does the unthinkable. The unthinkable. And yes, at times we'll ask us to do the unthinkable. But I'm looking at it as from God's, at what he will do. There are times he will do the unthinkable because his purpose, his will is unstoppable. Isaiah 55:8 makes that very, very clear. When it says, God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. In other words, there's times he does things that we don't understand. He's the unthinkable, unstoppable God. He will do things beyond what we think. He will surprise us. There will be times he shows himself very strong on our behalf, and we like to call them God moments, or maybe even a miracle like we feel we experienced in our family recently. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because God is unstoppable, his purposes cannot and will not be stopped. Yet there are times when when our God, who is unstoppable and who can't do anything within his, or who can do everything, let me say that again. Our God, who is unstoppable and who can do anything within his character, he chooses not to do anything. Can you imagine that? And there are those times that that's what he does. The night we were in the... I said it was the first time I pulled an all-nighter on New Year's Eve. Actually stayed up awake all night. And I wasn't partying, believe me. But we had Carol, took her into the emergency room. And some of you know what this is like if you've had kidney stones. I know, Larry, you've experienced it. Brother Larry, there's a lot of people in here. Brother Bob, Clay, I don't know who all. I've never had, of all my kidney issues, I haven't had kidney stones. In fact, I really haven't had hardly any pain at all. But kidney stones are terrible. And sitting in that ER emergency room, and they were doing all they could. They were slammed with people, beds in the halls. But Carol was sitting there in that seat, just wrenching around with so much pain. And I said, why, Lord, won't you relieve it? Sometimes we still got to go through pain. He did, after a while, through the medication and doctors, but it took a while. Sometimes that's the way it is with God. And I had to get my, I told you I had to get my fistula checked, and it was closing up. It wasn't working like it should have been. So they had to go up in there and open that up with a balloon. And I was awake. It didn't feel very good. There was pain. God didn't take the pain away. And I don't claim to know all the answers about the why God questions. And I think they're okay if our attitudes just say, you know, why are we letting this happen, God? I don't think all why questions are wrong. But God has the right to act or not to act. Even then, he is no less God. No less unstoppable. And no less loving. No less merciful. He's a merciful God. I shouldn't be here this morning. Neither should you, by the way. It's because of his mercy. Psalm 138:8 says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me." Again, that word perfect is meaning complete. He will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me, for you. Because he's unstoppable and God's purposes cannot be stopped. As a believer. All right, secondly, God's promises can't be stopped. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of faith, of our faith, without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. His promises cannot be stopped. He is faithful to keep them. Psalm 105:8, he that remembered his covenant. And interesting again that Brother George prayed that God would remember his covenant. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. God doesn't forget his promises. The promises of the unstoppable God, they can't be stopped. I wasn't exempt from the pain that I had to go through with this, and that's minor, probably considered some, but it was some of the worst pain that I've ever had. It didn't feel very good to unpopping that balloon and stretching that artery vein in there. But you know what? He didn't take the pain away, but you know what he did? He brought to mind a promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What happened? And he didn't. He didn't leave me. He got me through it. He got Carol through the night and where she's been going, and he's working in our lives. But because, listen, 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us what? Exceeding great. And what kind of promises? Precious. Promises that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Those promises apply to you and to me as believers. You got that this morning? Are we grasping that? And they can't be stopped. They're true. Because the unstoppable God is behind them and backs them up. Because he's unstoppable, all his promises of his word are unstoppable. What is in your life? What's in your life that you wonder if God's in control of it? You know what? He has the answers. What is it that you're wondering? What's he going to do? Is he doing anything? Well, let me assure you that the unstoppable God has it under his control. His promises apply to you. I love these words that the songwriter put down. They're just so powerful and appropriate. He said, I stood at the foot of a mountain too high to climb. I stood by the water with no way to the other side. But when I cried out to Jesus, you cry out to Jesus? Do you do it verbally or you do it in your mind and your thoughts, crying out to him at times? When I cried out to Jesus, I'm telling you, friend, he made a way o'er. And ever since then, I've never met an immovable mountain. I've never faced an uncrossable sea. Because the God of all power, he goes before me. Isn't that marvelous? Incredible. the God of all power, the unstoppable God, goes before me. And time after time I see there's nothing on earth that can stop the unstoppable God. Maybe you're feeling or facing a mountain of doubt. Maybe you're standing by the same water that I'm talking about. But don't you worry, because you're going to find Jesus will come through, and you know what? You'll testify. I've never met an unmovable mountain. I've never faced an uncrossable sea, because the God of all power, he goes before me. And time after time I see there's nothing on earth that can stop the unstoppable God. I just love that thought. Nothing on this earth can stop the unstoppable God. So when things look bleak, when the blood numbers aren't what we want, or the cancer numbers aren't where they should be, or there's another transplant down the road, he's the unstoppable God. Because God is unstoppable, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. Because he's unstoppable, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Because God is unstoppable, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's for me, what does it matter? Isn't that the key? Isn't that the most important? Because God is unstoppable, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Not mine, his. Because God is unstoppable in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. Not in my own strength, but through him that loved us. Our God is the unstoppable God. His purposes cannot be stopped. His promises can't be stopped. And we could add other ones. His love can't be stopped. His judgment can't be stopped. But we'll conclude with this one. Because God is unstoppable, our praise to him cannot be stopped. Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Every other week? Continually. Continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You know what that means? It doesn't mean that obviously we can't be constantly, praise you Lord, praise you Lord, praise you Lord, praise you Lord. You know, continually. That's not what it means. But it means through all times and always or constantly. And by this, I think this is my taking of it. If you think it's wrong, you can correct me. But I believe at any time and all of the time, praise should be readily available as the fruit of my lips. Why? Well, certainly part of it is because he's the unstoppable God. Our praise cannot stop. The songwriter again, and you have to bear with me, but these things, they just speak to my heart so much sometimes and bless me. He says, somebody testify of everything he's done. Somebody prophesy every good thing that's to come. If you know he's good and he will do it, somebody testify. Do you know he's good this morning and that he will do it? I know I do. This morning, we have a little time. Is there anyone who wants to testify that God is good. Anybody. And he will do it. Thank you, brother.
I'd like to say that though life was not all I will, my God is good to me.
Amen, brother. Thank you. Anybody else?
God is never late. He's always on time.
He's never late. He's always on time. Exactly right. Seems like he's late sometimes, doesn't it? In our minds, he never is. Perfect timing. I've seen that so many times in our lives. Perfect timing. Had to be God because it couldn't have happened any other way. Anybody else? You have to feel if you need to feel led. It's up to you. I'm going to close it out here shortly. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Thank you, brother. He is. Even when I wondered, why won't you relieve that pain for Carol? He was still good. Didn't change the fact that he was good. We had a place to go. We had a hospital. We had medical help that could help us and did. That's a blessing. God is good. Anybody else?
This is hand of protection. Time and time again, we're on the highways. Something seriously could happen, but his hand of protection.
Amen. Hand of protection on the highways many, many times kept him safe. Thank you, brother. I've been there. The eyes went shut, and somehow they were wakened up. What's the proper English here? I got awake. That's a safe way to say it. The Lord was merciful. Anybody else? Yeah, because God's purpose will not be thwarted for you, brother. Thank you, George. Anybody else?
I'm thankful for what God's done in my life now. He's changed me in areas.
Just a moving of God in our hearts and lives. We're not who we were 30 years ago, are we, brother? It's because of God. It's not because we're anything special. It's because he's worked. Anybody else? Thank you.
God is good despite what we do.
God is good despite what we do. Yeah. Thank you, brother. Sometimes we do the most, I guess I shouldn't include you. But sometimes I do the most boneheaded things. And you know what? God is still good in spite of it. Yep. Anybody else?
God answers prayers.
I had a specific prayer, and I'm not going to detail it now with time, that I was praying about. Concerning someone in our family. And you know what? God answered that specifically to the point. I couldn't believe it. That's shame on me. But he did. And then some. It's amazing. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you for sharing. Sometimes it's got to come out. He's been so good to us. Praise the Lord.
This past summer, late summer, for the first time going to Loyola, I had a passenger. It was Brother George. God was unstoppable that day. That was the most scared I think I ever was in my life. I was driving a big box truck, George beside me, about 60 mile an hour on Route 30, and all of a sudden my head swam, and I was ready to pass out. And I was scared. I was scared for George and I that we were going to have a terrible wreck. That truck was brought to a stop on the shoulder of Route 30 with no harm done. I praise God for that. And I was able to switch seats with Brother George because he was well capable as a truck driver to take my place. God is unstoppable, and I was so thankful that day, late summer, this past summer, that he was unstoppable. I was stopped. I was done, but God was not. Everybody this morning that wants to be on God's side, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand for prayer.